Tarun Saranai. How are you all today? Doing great? Okay. Expect the unexpected when you're at the Jethanaram Buddhist Monastery. You never know what will happen. So today, unfortunately, you don't have Dasa Handuru. So you'll have to bear with me until the end of the sermon. So I was trying to actually avoid this opportunity, but not because I don't like to do a sermon. It's not that, because I would love to share my knowledge that I have learned, that I have gained through my teachers, with anyone, basically. It's not that, it's just because being young, we tend to avoid responsibilities, right? It's just that. So, but I would love to share my knowledge with you. In fact, it's the teachers that pushes our limits, us to our limits. And therefore, I got this wonderful opportunity to speak to my mothers and fathers, and also the Anagarikas and our Anagarika Mahatyas. Okay. So, before we start today's sermon, let us bring our palms together in veneration of the Supremely Enlightened One, our Lord Buddha, who has paved this path, who has cleared this path, and who was the one who found and discovered this path to our ultimate liberation, our teacher, our master, the Supremely Enlightened Lord Buddha. Please chant the Namaskara 3 times with me. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, so with the permission from the Noble Triple Gem and the Anagarika Mahatyas, Anagarika Mahatmiyas, and our Srila Shravaka, Shravika Mahatmiyas, and Mahatyas, and to our honorable devotees. We need to get this thing into our mind where, from time to time, we need to actually consider what is the purpose of our life. I mean, of course, we know that as people who are walking on the path and we have a destined goal, which is our salvation and Nibbana, but we all have that as a goal, right? Although we have that as a goal, a definite aim, we all have that. If I ask anyone in the room, basically anyone, what is the purpose of your life? You would tell me, Swami Nans, of course, I want to attain Nibbana. I want to achieve my salvation. I want to complete it. I want to actually fulfill what I have come here for. That is my goal. That is my aim. No matter what happens, no matter what comes in front of my life, that is my aim. You would tell me that. But although it is like that, it is very beneficial from time to time to consider and also reflect on what actually the purpose of our lives is, our lives are. And also, when fulfilling this purpose, aren't there any alternatives? It is always better to consider that from time to time, always reflect on that from time to time, because when you do that, what happens is, you get a firm idea that this is the only path that you can take which is worthwhile. This is the only thing that you have to consider. When you consider about the alternatives, when we hear news about the things that happen in and around the country, in and around the world, then sometimes, not sometimes, but all the time, we feel that this is the only thing that we should be doing. There's nothing else that should be considered to be done. So, from time to time, we need to consider what is this human life? Why did we get something like this? Of course, now you tell me that Swami answer, it is to attain Nibbana. Of course, yeah, I know that. Well done for that. You have that in your mind. You have that in your mind firmly. But how are you saying that? Why are you saying that? When you came to this world, what did you bring with you? Nothing. We were all crying in the cot, and when we came out of our mother's womb, we were all crying. We didn't bring anything with us. We didn't know what to do. We were just young infants, and knowing we didn't know anything to do. We were just, the only thing that we basically knew to do was to cry. But when we were at that stage, we didn't know what to do. Then we grew up little by little, and then people around us started influencing us, starting from our parents, and then came the relatives, then came their friends, then came everyone around us, basically. And we got these views on how to live life. And then different people started saying different things. Whoever we were associating at the time, they told us different things to do in life. And then first, we, as Sri Lankans, we, as culturally, what we do is we read the letters and then eat the first meal. So these are few things that we do in our culture, in the Sri Lankan culture. So these are the first few things that we do. And then after that, then we are told to go to the school. We're told to educate ourselves. We're told to, then we a path will be paved for us. And then when we're little, people around us will ask us, Puta, Dua, what is your ambition? Who would you want to be when you grow up? And then they would keep asking us these questions. And then sometimes they might even start suggesting different options. So sometimes they might even pave the whole path for you. So when you grow up, you can go to this school, and then after that, you can go to this university, and then after that, you can get this job, and then you can be happy as your mother and father. You can happy as, if it was a relative who was suggesting it, you can be happy just like auntie. You can be happy just like uncle. They started saying all these things to you. And this will be told to a person who never knew anything, who came when coming to this world, who didn't know anything. But then this person takes on all these views and then goes on to complete whatever the goal that is in their minds. Sometimes the goal changes from time to time. When, for example, when you were in your younger ages, when you were in the school, maybe you wanted to do something else. Maybe you wanted to become someone else. But as you grew up, you got other different views from others, maybe from your friends at that age, or maybe from elders. You got different other views saying that now you shouldn't, you should actually, no, not a doctor, don't consider it a doctor, just be, try to be an engineer, try to be a pilot. Now, they started putting different views into your head. Then we started considering about those. Oh yeah, actually, we could actually be a doctor or an engineer rather than a doctor. We can actually be a pilot rather than an engineer. Then people started putting all these different views into our heads. So we took different views into consideration. So in all of these occasions, there was something at the back of our heads. Is this what I really want to do? Wasn't that actually at the back of your head? Is this what I really wanted to do? Is this the path that I have to take? Sometimes people go on paths because of others tell them, and then at the end, they end up regretting it. I know a few people like that who would come to talk to me, and then they have said that, Swami Nahansa, I took this path and I became an engineer, but I don't really want to be an engineer. My passion is towards driving cars. I want to be a racer. But because everyone around them influenced them to be an engineer, then he went on to become an engineer. And I mean, he passed his grade, he got good grades, he passed his university, and then he became an engineer. And he got a job in a very respected place, a very reputed place. But he comes and tells me that, Savinas, I don't really want to do this. Because this is not what I wanted. It's just that when come to think of it, I just did this because everyone around me told me this. Everyone around me told me to do this. That is why I actually went on to do this. But today I actually regret it. I can't go back now. So, I mean, these situations might have been encountered in your life. But the young people here, of course, will not have encountered, including myself, because we were saved before that. Thanks to our teachers. So therefore, from time to time, it is always better to consider and reflect on and contemplate on our actual purpose of life. So because this is again another thing that we were told, wasn't it? This is another view that we have been put, that has been put into our heads. The path to Nibbana. Of course, Guru Hamsa speaks of that very highly. That's because he's experiencing it. But when come to think about it individually, we have to consider it ourselves from time to time. Is this the path that I really need to take? Now, you might hear this as contradictory because you need to have conviction. Yes, you need to have conviction. This is how you make your conviction. This is how you develop your conviction. Because once you consider all the other alternatives, you start to feel that this path, I mean, when you started considering all the other alternatives, you start to feel that this path, this is not going to work. Because, I mean, at the end of your life, you had achieved nothing. And then you take the other path. And then you think, will this be a good one? This seems like a good one. Oh, no, it's not going to work. And then you think about the other path. And then you think about that. And then ultimately, you'll stop at one path. And that path would be the path to Nibbana. You can try doing this in your free time, in your Valimalu time, and in your whenever you have time to contemplate, or whenever you're doing some merit work. You can try to think of this. Because these are the things that will stick you right onto this path. Because although we feel like we are considering a different other alternative, it's not actually. Because when we consider that, we eliminate all of that. Because now we have, because not because we have a view that this path is the only correct path, it's because we have the view of the truth. We know what the truth is, and we can actually debate inside ourselves. And then check with ourselves whether this is the right path that I need to walk on. And I doubt that any one of you think that, actually, this is not the right path. That's not going to happen because you know about this path. You know your destination. You know your end goal. You have that in your mind. You have that in your head. So therefore, you would never consider something like that. Whenever you think about all the other alternatives, you would always think, this is the only path that I need to take. That will always stick in your head. Every single time you think about something else. Every single time you think about, let's say, for example, if you think about, okay, should I get another degree? Should I get another PhD? Should I actually aim for that? So let's say you start thinking that I got my bachelor's. Should I actually consider about my master's? I mean, it's good. You can do that. But without going on the path? I mean, it's good to educate yourself, of course. But without going on the path? Always the purpose is what matters. If you're considering about achieving your master's, then yes, that's a good opportunity, and that's a good aim. But why are you doing it? That is what you need to consider. If you're doing it, then because then you can do more great to this world, or if you benefit out of that, because of that, you would be able to do, let's say, share that knowledge and apply that knowledge to them, and then share it with everyone in this world. If that is the case, then I mean that's a good option. But we always need to consider what is the purpose behind everything that we do, and that all ties up to our very purpose of life. We were born as human beings without knowing anything, and then we were told different things, and then this is another, because we have to consider it like that. We have to consider this as another thing, this as another view. Only if we do that, then we put this onto the scale unbiased. Otherwise, if we think at the start, saying that, no, this is the only path that I have to take, then that is bias. So if we start being unbiased, then we put all the other considerations, let's say becoming a doctor, becoming an engineer, or other degrees, or the other things that you could have achieved in life, you put all the others on the scale, and then you put this onto the other side of the scale, which is unbiased. It should be unbiased. That should be another consideration, just like the other stuff. But according to your knowledge, according to the, because you are walking on the path towards Nibbana, of course, you're always, that Nibbana side would be very heavy. It would be heavier than all the other sides, all the other alternatives, all the other considerations that you can take into your head. So therefore, always think about the purpose of your life from time to time. This would be very important. Because it is, at the end of the day, it is your purpose in life that guides you. That has, because in this book that I have read about, it's from, I think, Napoleon Hill. So he talks about a definite aim in life, which of course Guru Andhra always does. So he says that if you don't have a definite aim in life, it's just like a headless arrow. If you shoot a headless arrow, where would that go? Have you done this? So when I was a child, I had this bow that my mom bought for me, which I could play with. When you shoot with it, it goes and sticks somewhere. If you shoot on a glass, it goes and sticks there. Maybe you have seen this. But after some time, what happens is the head falls off. It just falls off. So then you don't have a head into that arrow. So when you aim at somewhere and then shoot that arrow, you're not actually shooting where you're aiming. You're aiming in a different direction, but the arrow goes in a different direction, because a headless arrow will always be like that. So that is what Napoleon Hill, he says, that everyone without a definite goal in life would be just like a headless arrow. So we don't want to be like headless arrows, because we always should have a definite goal in life. So of course, the New Year's coming up, and then you can all make a resolve. You can all make a resolve to actually achieve. Because one day, I can remember, Nayaka Andhra, which is our Amadas Sanatero. So one day he tells that, in one of his sermons, of course, he said that this year I'm going to this getting angry thing. I mean, although you might not see that people get angry, but sometimes there's a slight thing that goes inside my head. I mean, it's not even visible from the outside, but I mean, the things that you get suddenly, right? It won't be visible. For example, like regrets. And he was telling that, I think, a few years back, right? He was saying that it's very annoying. I need to get rid of it. This year, I have fed up of it. I'm going to get rid of it. And then towards the end of the year, he doesn't even talk about it anymore. That means he had a definite goal in life in that for that year. And then it shows clearly that he had achieved it. These are our teachers. So as children and as students walking on that path of our teachers, we would also need to actually put definite goals in life, which we will be able to achieve throughout the year. We won't be able to say maybe not a time that we can bound it with. We won't be able to say that, but still we have a goal. Rather than like a big goal that you can't fathom, we can have a small goal to achieve something very small. When we do that, then we have an achievement that we can always think about on the path to Nibbana. In my life, I'll share a personal experience. In my life, you know, when back then, Guru Hamdur and I kind of started talking about Arithun Mahanses and you should have someone as a role model. Then I got the role model of, I should have the role model of Venerable Sariputta. But then I thought, it's a very big goal to achieve. It's a very big path there. So if I actually had that goal in my mind, of course, Venerable Sariputta, we know how great he is. We know how great that great elder is. That's why he's called Venerable Sariputta, the great elder. He's the foremost among wisdom. So we know how great he is, but it's really hard to go there. And it's not that we can't go there. Of course, we won't be able to achieve his level of wisdom, but we'll be able to actually go somewhere near him, right? We'll be able to be an Arithun Mahanse. But then I slowly realized that is a big chunk that I have bitten. And it is easier on the path to Nibbana, because then you'll see, it is always easier when you bite in small chunks. Because as our teachers say, how do you eat an elephant? Do you eat the whole elephant at once? How do you eat a bear? Do you eat the whole thing at once? No. We don't eat the whole elephant at once. We eat one bite at a time. Just like we eat a plate of rice. Just like we eat a bun. Just like we eat bread. That is the same way you eat a whole elephant. And do you have to eat it in just one day? No, there are fridges. There are refrigerators. So you can actually put the elephant. I don't know whether you can eat elephants or not. But technically, you can put it in the fridge just like you do to chicken. So you can put it in the fridge and then keep it there. And then eat one bite at a time. Cook one portion at a time. And then serve one spoon at a time. So we don't have to take the whole elephant into consideration and then think that, oh my God, how am I going to actually eat this thing? How am I going to finish this thing? It's not going to, that is not going to work. And also, what that will do is, that will actually leave us regretted. Or not just regretted, but that will leave us thinking that we have actually achieved nothing. We have achieved something, we have achieved lots of things, but we are actually focusing on something very far away. When we focus on something very far away, then we would always live in, not fear, but disappointment. Thinking that, this looks like it's not going to work. So that disappointment does not bring a pleasant mind. Because we would always need a pleasant mind to attain, to reflect on the path, and for Dhamma to come into our head, we need a pleasant mind. You know, that is the environment that we need all the time. So as long as we have that pleasant mind environment, then we can actually reflect on the Dhamma. But what will happen if we don't think about the achievement that we have achieved? Then we are actually disappointed, little by little. Give or take, whatever the amount, we could be disappointed. We could be thinking that we're not achieving anything. I mean, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried thinking on this, I've tried this karmasthana, I've tried this karmasthana, I've told my teacher, I have opened up to my teacher, I've told all the things that I have done in my life to my teacher, and then he'd given me advice. I tried to follow this advice, this advice, this advice, and Guru Hamdur told us to do this thing. We were asked to offer pang to Lord Buddha, offer a glass of water to Lord Buddha in the morning. We were asked to do the Buddha Puja. We did all of these things. I did all of these things, but I'm not achieving anything. I tried all of these opportunities. I've tried all of these things that Guru Hamdur asked us to do, but I'm not achieving anything. We might start thinking like that, feeling disappointed in ourselves, feeling disappointed in the path that we are taking. But we won't be able to do that. We won't be disappointed in the path or the path that we are walking on or the Dhamma that we are reflecting on or our teachers. We won't be disappointed if we start to think about all the little achievements that we have made. Maybe today you feel very delighted to see a Swaminarayan, more than you did back then. Always think about your past. Always reflect back onto your past. And then think how much you have achieved by today. How many things that you have achieved by today. These are the simple things that you can do. So just like I shared, I had Venerable Sariputta Thero as my main goal, but then I thought that it's really hard to achieve. Not that it is not possible, but it's a big chunk that I took back in the day. But then I thought, okay, then I'll be like Guru Hamdur. That is also very big. Then I thought to myself about another Swaminarayan in the monastery. So then I thought that first, I'll be like him. This is my target. This is my goal. I'll be like him. I want to be like him. So then I took a smaller chunk, which I thought was small, but when trying to achieve whatever that he was doing and whatever that he was trying to show or trying to, I mean, I was looking up at him. So when trying to achieve that, I thought that this is not a small chunk, although it seems like, compared to Venerable Sariputta, compared to Venerable Guru Hamdur, it looks like a small chunk, but it is not. Maybe you can have goals to be, I mean, you don't need to say it to anyone, but inside your head, you can have a goal. You can talk about it with your teachers, if you have teachers, right? So you can talk about it with your teachers. Maybe it could be someone, a fellow Srila Shravaka, a fellow Srila Shravaka, or a fellow Anagarika Mahatmya, for Anagarika Mahatmyas, or a Swaminarayan for the Swaminarayans, or Anagarika Mahatmyas for the Anagarika Mahatmyas. Or it could simply be the person who influences you in the Dhamma, who teaches you the Dhamma points. Maybe it's your friends. It could simply be them. First, try to achieve something very small, and then you'll start seeing progress. Because the mind always needs progress to see achievement, to see success. That's how the ignorant mind is, of course. But we have to take advantage of that ignorance. Because the mind sees a being who is achieving things. When the mind sees that, then the mind started seeing that, okay, I was here, but now throughout this year, I was living, and then today I have achieved this. I was thinking like this back then, but today I'm thinking like this. That is due to ignorance. But still, that we have to take as an advantage. Otherwise, the ignorance will take the better of it. If the ignorance started taking the better of it, then we start feeling disappointed in all the things that we have done throughout that time period. So that is very bad when considered about the path to Nibbana. I mean, that is very bad in any other path. Think about learning a language. When you started learning a language, we start feeling that, I mean, first few days, of course, because I'll draw something. I think you'll be familiar with this graph. Yes? This is the exponential graph. And we are very familiar with this. This is how most natural things occur in this world. Most of the natural things, the things that belongs to nature, this is how they occur. So this is the same way that a business starts growing. This is the same way that we'll start learning something. So at the start, when we are here, we start feeling that there's not really any progress. Because look at it. It looks like it's not even moving up. But then at this point, again, very little progress. Not much. We don't have that. There's no significant amount of increase. At this point, now we'll start seeing small progress, but this is after a very long time. But then when you're here, now you'll start feeling that, oh my God, there is a lot of progress. I'm very different to the person who was yesterday. Now, it's very funny that because sometimes we listen to Guru Hamdra's sermons that he done, the recordings, over and over again, right? But then he says that he doesn't even feel like listening to a recording of his sermon because in the evening, I wouldn't be thinking the same way that I was thinking in the morning. So that is how much progress he feels. That is how much achievements that he feels during the day. So he feels a difference of him, of his thinking, the pattern of his thinking, his practice in the morning to the evening. There is a huge difference that he feels. So therefore he says that, I don't feel like listening to it. It's very old. This was the sermon that was done in the evening. That's why he always says that, always be a different person, always be someone who's different in your all types of achievements. Either it be mentally or spiritually, or something that you're learning, either it be a language. Be someone who had achieved something more than yesterday. And he's not just saying it, he's proving it. Day by day, even in Guru Hamdra's language skills, he's improving. Maybe you might have spotted that if you come to the Guru Hamdra's English sermons, he doesn't make the mistakes that he used to make, the grammar mistakes, of course. He doesn't make the grammar mistakes he used to make when he first started. Now he's becoming very fluent. So therefore, just like that, any natural thing occurs in this way. Learning something, learning to play an instrument, learning to sing, learning to maybe dance, I don't know. But any of those things occurs in this way. Because we see the 18 minus Anagarika Mahatatha of the monastery. They start practicing the instruments. The drums and the horana, we call it, or the flute that you... I don't know the English word for that. Does anyone know? Okay, let's just call it the horana. Or the flute. So they practice the flute, and sometimes they start playing, and they start to play, and then the first few days they play, and then they feel like, I'm not actually achieving anything, and then they just give up. But those who kept on playing, now you'll see a beautiful performance, just like you saw, just like you see every day. Not every day, but every event that you come to visit and see. That comes out of practice. Practice and also courage to keep you on the path until you achieve something. So the courage comes with thinking of all the achievements that you have achieved. But to do that, we need to think of the even the smallest achievements in our lives. Sometimes we might not focus on them. Sometimes they might not be very, they might not be very focused of our achievements. I mean, think about back in the day that one Aryat Mehnin Mahanse, who comes to Venerable Ananda, and then she shares with Venerable Ananda, Swami Mahanse, I see things, but I don't actually want to see. I don't actually want to look. I see things. I mean, I see it. I hear things, but I don't actually want to listen. I smell things, but I don't actually want to know what smell it is. I taste things, and I don't want to know what taste it is. I don't want to go the extra mile and then check what taste it is. I don't want to do that, but I taste things. So likewise, she talks about the five senses, and then she says, is this, am I doing the right thing? Am I going on the right path? Have I achieved something even very small, or am I going on the wrong path? So she asks this from Venerable Ananda. And then, the miracle is, the irony of that is, that Venerable Ananda is not even able to answer that question. He gets confused as well, according to the stories, who knows. Because at that time, I think Venerable Ananda Swami Nahanse, or Venerable Ananda, had not become an Arhat Nahanse. So of course, we don't know. So it's just the stories that we know about. So when she tells this to Venerable Ananda goes and asks the Lord Buddha, of course the enlightened one. And then Lord Buddha says that, of course Venerable Ananda, it is a samadhi. And that samadhi is called the fruit of becoming an Arhat Nahanse, the great fruit that you all have to achieve. That is what the Lord Buddha's answer is. So that means that Arhat Mehnin Mahanse didn't know that she was an Arhant, although she had become one. She didn't know that she was an Arhant, but she heard things. She didn't want to actually listen. So she didn't actually focus on her achievements. Maybe she had done, but she didn't feel a difference. Because it is said that, I mean, Guru Hanra always speaks of this, where you have to actually live in Nibbana now. So if you're actually living in Nibbana now, then, I mean, you wouldn't feel a significant difference when closing into becoming an Arahant. You wouldn't feel a significant difference because you're always in that mindset. So for example, let's say that you want to speak in English, right? Of course, I mean, back then, maybe when you started learning on English, did you feel a significant difference between the first day and the second day? No, right? Even when you're starting up on another language, do you feel significant difference on the first day and the second day? What about the day that you became fluent? The day before that? Do you feel a significant difference between the last day and the day before? I mean, we're always improving our language skills, of course, and that happens. But do you feel a difference? We might feel like, okay, I learned another word. But did we feel a difference in our speaking style or our accents or anything like that? We don't feel a significant difference. Just like that, the practice on the path is the same thing. You're always keeping your head in the path. You're always keeping your mind attained and lean towards the path. And then you wouldn't feel a significant difference. But you would feel a significant difference if you focus on that. But if you don't focus, of course, you're not going to feel a significant difference. You might feel a small difference, but not like a huge achievement that you have made. But what I'm trying to say is that if you start focusing on the small achievements, you would have a very pleasant mind. You would have a huge conviction towards the path that you're walking on. You wouldn't have any doubts on the path. you wouldn't have any doubts on your teachers. Am I actually doing the right thing? You wouldn't have that doubt. Because you focused on it today, thinking that, did I achieve something? But this is not to say that frustrate over your achievements, thinking that, oh, I haven't actually achieved something. Not even very small things. Don't frustrate over that. But just think on, and also always reflect on the small things that you achieve. It could be simply saying sorry. Maybe back then you didn't say sorry. But now you say sorry all the time. Sometimes we hear that in our 18 minus Anagarika Mahathas. Sometimes when they walk, they look around and walk, and then they hit a chair, and then they go like, oh, sorry. And then they come into realization that it's just a chair that they hit. So before seeing that, they go like, sorry. So even before knowing who it is, whether I hit someone or not, they started saying sorry. So that's a huge achievement. I mean, personally, I haven't seen people who say sorry this much in life. Even when you miss a foot, you can't hear a sorry back then, right? I mean, I haven't heard a sorry. Maybe a grumpy look. It won't go as far as a fight. But then if you ruin like a very good polished shoe, then you'll actually get a word as well. You won't get a sorry. But then here we talk about, if someone steps on your foot, then say sorry if you're the person who's receiving it. Even if you're the person who's receiving it, because he stepped on your foot because your foot was there. This is what we hear from our teachers. Say sorry because your foot was there and then he stepped on it. And that puts him into an uncomfortable state, right? So therefore, he has to say sorry, and therefore you have to say sorry because he has to say sorry. So this is how our teachers think. Because most of the time, I mean, even though you step on a foot, I mean, who would think that the person who had their foot there would say sorry? So even our presence, we ask for forgiveness. Our presence is also it's very bad for others. That's how we consider ourselves. Because when we are present, then you'll have to do all the things for us. I mean, anyone, individually taken. When we are there, then let's say because we are here, now we have to find food, right? We have to find food. Of course, it's an opportunity for you to earn alms. So the Swamin alms is there. So it's an opportunity for you to earn merits. Did I say alms? Sorry. It's an opportunity for you to earn merits. And therefore, I mean, that's a good opportunity for you. But considering about that, it's actually a big weight to this world. Our being here, I'm not just talking about myself, everyone in this world. It's just a weight to this world, right? If we consider from another lens, we have to provide food, we have to provide medicine. Anyone who's born to this world is a weight to this world. So therefore, I mean, that's how we consider ourselves. That's how our teachers have asked us to consider ourselves. I mean, that is true when looking from that lens. Let's say, I mean, okay, so because I am being here, now you have to provide food for me as well. I mean, this is how the Arithunwansis back then thought as well. During the famine, we have heard about the stories about the famine that had happened in Sri Lanka. So during that drought period or the famine, there weren't enough food for everyone. So there was the Arithunwansis and the other Swaminwansis who had become ordained to achieve the greatest fruit of Nibbana. And there weren't enough food for everyone because it's a famine. Throughout the whole country, there's a huge drought, and therefore no rain received. They're not able, the farmers aren't able to plant, and therefore there's no food. There's not enough food for the people. So when the monks go on alms round, sometimes people have to come out and say that, Swaminathan, there's nothing, not even for us. Because of course the people back then, they loved the Swaminathan just like you all. They loved the Swaminathan, although they didn't have anything, they gave. I mean, that is why they got. Because they had the mindset of giving. That is why they got later on. But at this drought period, during the famine, they didn't have anything to eat. But some houses, they had something to eat, something small for themselves, but they offered it to the Mahasangha. They offered it to the monks. So then these monks came back and they shared it with all the other monks. But then the Arithun Mahasas back then, they thought, if we stay, we're a weight to the other monks. Because then all the food had to be shared with us as well. This is how the Arithun Mahasas back then thought. All the food has to be shared with us as well. So therefore, the amount of food that is there for others to consume will be reduced. And that is not good. Because I have become an Arhant, that's how they thought. I have become an Arhant, but all the other monks, they are still on their path. So this is how an Arithun Mahasas thought individually to himself. So therefore, what I should do is, I should attain the Parinibbana. Because they can do that. Once you've become an Arhant, we have heard that you can make a resolve, a firm resolve, and then you stop eating, and then you, I mean, because you're an Arhant, you pass on to Parinibbana. So they thought about that. They thought to that degree. So all the teachers were left, because of course the other students, which are the other Swaminathans, need to attain, at least to become Sotapanna, to become a great Sotapanna, a stream enterer, they need a teacher. So all the teachers were left, but all the other Arithun Mahasas, they passed on to Parinibbana on purpose. Because they thought of themselves as a great burden to this world. Of course, when we consider it, an Arithun Mahasa is not not even a slight of a burden, but that's how they considered. Because at that time, given that occasion, they felt that they were a burden. Because they had to share all the food, and then the amount of food that could be consumed by all the other Swaminathans and all the other people, even the people, they considered about them. Because they had achieved what they need to achieve. So they left all the teachers, hopefully, luckily, they left all the teachers, and then all the other Arithun Mahasas passed on to Parinibbana. That is how they thought, ladies and gentlemen. That is how they thought. That is an Arithun Mahasas mindset. I mean, we see that in our teachers as well. That is how they ask us to think. Even from the foot example. That was just a simple example. But this is like a huge level of that. A very big level of that. I mean, it starts from the foot. It starts considering. So we consider ourselves as a burden to everyone around us. Of course, in one lens, right? In one perspective. But in the other perspective, of course, we get to hear the sermons from the Swaminathans, of course. So there is a benefit, and we get to do merits, a lot of merits, because due to the Swaminathans. And that is another perspective. This is a perspective that we need to think on individually. So don't think that, oh, this person's existence is a burden to this world. don't think like that. But this is how we have to consider individually when we think about ourselves. Only when you think about individually. When you think about individually about us from time to time, we need to consider ourselves as a burden to this world. So therefore, the best thing to do is to attain Nibbana and then get out of this world. So then we stop being a burden to this world. Every child who is born to this world, aren't they a burden? This is one other lens, of course. But then, given the probability that they could achieve and become an Arhatun Vahanse, then that there's no burden to that probability. But apart from that, it is a burden to this world. This world has to produce more food, right? Someone has to go to the powerhouse to produce electricity. Someone had to work in the government. Someone has to be the president to make sure the country runs very well. Someone has to be in the police to make sure that no one does crime and nothing happens to this newborn. Someone has to be in the army to protect the country from threats. So this random person has to go to work as well. So everything is interconnected. And which comes back to how I get the sermon as well. So when I heard that Guru Andhra is going abroad to Australia, and Das Andhra is going abroad to Australia, I was like, oh, sadhu, sadhu, so good is going to happen to this world. And then 2 days ago, I got a message saying that Sudassi Andhra, have you recovered of your illness? Then I said, yes, Nayaka Andhra, what do I need to do? Then he told me, oh, you have a great opportunity to do the Saturday sermon. Then I thought, sadhu, sadhu, that is what I need to be doing right now. That is my purpose in life right now. But considering about that, I was thinking like, sadhu, sadhu, Das Andhra went to Australia and Guru Andhra went to Australia, so good is going to happen to the world. And then I got the message that you also need to be doing good to the world. In this format. So therefore, I was asked to do this sermon. That's how I got it. So just like Venerable, so I think in the evening sermon will be done by Venerable Durangoda Nayaka Andhra, because Amadasana Nayaka Andhra had also had to go to some place. So therefore, so the same thing that happened to him actually had happened to lots of others, because due to this illness as well, lots of other sermons that happened in the monastery also had changed. The Swaminansa who's preaching had changed. Of course, I won't be great as Dasa Andhra, but I'll try my best. So therefore, always keep the purpose in your life as your main goal. And also, we shouldn't always think that our purpose is fixed and that this is what we are going to achieve. I mean, that's good, but always consider other alternatives as well, so that therefore we can actually solidify our conviction towards that purpose. The way of thinking about that purpose solidifies. Our basement solidifies. The more we think about other alternatives. Because, of course, in our heads, we know that this is the only thing that is worthwhile in achieving. And therefore, there's nothing else that needs to be achieved apart from this. We know that. So this is just another suggestion that you can try. To make sure that we always stick to that. Okay. So, I would like to discuss some Dhamma point with you. Everyone knows my drawing is bad. Okay. What is this? This is called a flower. I drank water on purpose. To ask you the next question. What happened to this flower? While I was drinking water, what happened to this flower? It was the same, wasn't it? Now is it a different flower? What happened to the one I drew? My beautiful flower. What happened to this flower while I was drinking water? Was it here? No? Where was it then? I'm pretty sure it was on the board. Now I get why everyone draws flowers when they want to draw something. Because it's easier to draw. You can't draw an elephant. Okay, who is this? Not a monkey. It's a cat. My version of a cat. Oh, wait. Okay. So, what happened to this cat? While we're waiting, what happens to this cat? There's no cat. Okay. That's profound. Okay, while I was drawing the cat, what happened to the flower? It was just on the board, right? Was it? Okay, let's say that there's an actual flower in this room. Okay, let's say that. No one will blame me for breaking the decoration, right? So, yes. So let's say that this is an actual flower. Let's consider that this is an actual flower, right? So, for the people who have done biology, you know what happens to this flower while it's under light and there are leaves? Photosynthesis. So therefore, this creep keeps on growing, although we can't see significant difference. Just like the chart. So this keeps on growing, right? Different things are synthesized inside this. Different things are produced inside this, to simplify. So basically, cells are produced in this. So this is growing, if we consider this as a real flower, right? Although we pluck it out of the tree, it is growing for some time, until all the cells die, right? So, if that is the case, we can say that this flower is growing, right? But what about this? This is dry. A dried flower. Sorry? The marker gets dry. Okay, let's say it's already dried. So what happens to that flower? This is an image of a flower. What happens to it over time? It fades. Okay, let's put this on a graph. I'll draw on the graph. Now you'd think that when I was doing A levels, my favorite topic was graph. Yes, it was. Okay, so let's say that this is time. Although you know that we'll take time for now, right? Okay. This is time. This is at t equals 1. And this is the flower. Let's say the growth of the flower, right? So that's denoted by g. Does this look like a g? It does to me from this angle. Okay, so this is time and this is the growth of the flower, right? At t equals 1, what was the growth? Let's say 1. What about at t equals 2? What is the growth? 1. What about t equals 3? What is the growth? 1. So if we join the dots together, we get a graph, a constant graph. And the growth is just constant. It's not growing anymore. It has flattened out. So if this is the case, when we see the flower, we would see, I mean, if we don't consider about the flower fading away or the ink going out or the ink particles getting out of this the board and then the flower fading, if you put that aside, the flower is mostly, it's just there. If we come and look tomorrow morning, it would be the same, wouldn't it? So when time goes, what we see is that it's just constant. It's just there. Just like, for example, I mean, let's take a door or a chair, the chair that you're sitting on. If you come tomorrow and check the chair, it is the same. You can't see a difference, can you? So we have heard from our grandmothers and our siyas and aachis, our grandfathers. So they used to say that, puta, so, I mean, when we drop a glass or something, I used to hear this from I call her Kiriamma, my grandmother. So I used to hear this from her, saying that if I drop a glass accidentally, I mean, I'll get a good go at. So I'll get yelled off. But then she would say that, it's just okay, puta. These things are anicca, you know. So, I mean, it breaks. I mean, that's the nature of this world. Is that true? So this is what she used to tell me back then. I didn't know what anicca was and what she's talking about. But then she told me, when things break, I mean, things in this world, they break. You can't stop it. I mean, Archie will be only for a few years. She tells me this. You can't say no to it. That's how everything in this world is. She tells me this back then. So I was thinking about that, and then back then I was just a child, and I didn't know what she was talking about. But then she was actually on to a point. But is that the point that we talk about as well? So this flower, we said that it is constant through time. No growth, no fading out, nothing, but it was just there. If you consider about your chair, if you think about your chair, it's just there. It's just there throughout time. If you think about yourself as well, I mean, you wouldn't see a significant difference from today to tomorrow. But when you take a huge time period, just like for a few years, then you'd say that, oh, my hair has grown. I mean, my hair has grown. It has gone gray. We say that. And I have grown taller. I have grown my beard. So we say that. That is over time. If you take a huge time period, but if we take a small time period, what about that? We wouldn't spot a significant difference. Just like this flower. We don't spot a significant difference. Oh, now there is. But we didn't spot a significant difference before that. So is the flower there then? Is it always there? So what is anicca then? Does this have to break or change in order for it to be anicca? So when the flower is here, it's constant through time, and then the flower is not anicca. This is what I back then used to call my Archie's anicca, because that's how she used to refer to anicca. So only when a glass breaks, she thinks of it. Only when something that doesn't go according to plan happens, then she says that everything's anicca puta. So I mean, you need to consider about these things as well. You need to think of these things. I mean, don't regret or don't disappoint. It's just anicca. You need to understand this. But she is already disappointed. But then I thought, well, thinking like that couldn't be the way the Lord Buddha had taught, because Lord Buddha was very happy. He was a very happy person. He was a great person who taught how to live a happy life, how to be salvated, how to achieve your salvation. That is what he taught. So, I mean, Archie hadn't definitely achieved that. So thinking like this couldn't be the solution for it. So then I asked the question again. What happened to this flower? Nothing happened throughout time. But did nothing happen? This is where I thank my teachers. And also my teachers of the spiritual life, and also my teachers of the academic life, where we can actually talk about the electrons, protons and neutrons and all the things that we have learned for science. It is thanks to our biology teacher and our maths teacher and all the things that we have learned throughout life. It is thanks to them that we can talk about them. So therefore, it's really easy to clarify some points. I mean, we don't need to actually go that far, but we can if we know them, right? So anyhow, we know that. What is this arrangement? We call it a flower, right? Okay, let's take the cat out of here for a moment. What is this? You can all see that, right? What is this? The stalk. This? Petal. What do you call this? I don't know either. Sorry? The middle part. Not the middle path. The middle part of the flower. Let's just call it the yellow part. I don't know. Okay, so the thingy. So this petal, and the stalk, and the little part, not the little part, the middle part, comes together and then forms a flower. So these are the parts of a flower, right? Agreed? Okay, now you agreed that upon that these are the parts of a flower, right? I take one part away from the flower. Okay? Agreed? I take another part away from the flower. Yes? I take another part away from the flower. Yeah? The petal will also go. I take another petal of the flower. Yes? I take the middle part away from the flower as well. Yes? Something doesn't seem right. Where is the flower? Where did that go? I only took parts out of the flower, right? Now you agreed that these are the parts of the what? Flower. And I took parts out of the flower. And where did the flower go? Where did that go? Is it somewhere here? Doesn't look like. Where did the flower go? Not this flower. Where did it go? And the same with the cat. So these sermons are done cruelty free. So I don't want to take parts out of a cat. So, but the same with the cat. So where did the parts, the parts, I took them away, but where did the flower go? Now, if you put that on a graph as well, this is the second graph. I told you I love graphs. So this is t equals 1, 2, 3, 4, and then let's say this is 1, the growth of the flower, right? And then what happens to the growth? It decreases, right? Because it's not growing, it's just reducing in amount, right? So at t equals 1, it was 1, and then it slowly reduces over time, and then it goes down. This is the growth of the what? Flower. So when we talk about a third object in this world, we have to do that because we have to always talk about a third person, a third object, because otherwise we'll have to always talk with the parts. Huta, can you bring me the petals, the middle part, and the stalk? For the Buddha Puja? No, we can't do that because that's not practical. And that's impractical, right? So we can't actually do that. Can you ask that that hair, eyes, and nose, and the two arms and legs to come over here? Then he would come up to you. Which eyes, nose, hair, and two arms and legs you want me to call? So that's not gonna work. Because then we can't live. But what we need to understand is that although we refer as a flower is not something other than the material that is always there, that are always there. Flower is not something other than the petals, the middle part, and the stalk. Flower is not something other than that. Because tell me, when is this a flower? Now is it a flower? No. But when I bring these things close together, now you say, ah, that's a flower song answer. At which point did the flower come here? We can't talk about that. We can't say that at which point the flower came here, because a flower didn't come here in the first place. All that happened is the gathering of causes. All the causes gathered together. That's all that happened. The causes that are making this. Oh, so the other problem with language is that always in language we have to talk about a third thing. We have to talk about a third object. So what I refer as a third object is an object apart from its causes. So just like the flower. We have to talk about it because that's how we refer to it. That's how we refer to a person. We refer to a person with long hair. I mean, you can't say that. Typically, we refer to a person with long hair, a lady. But of course, there are men with long hair. And but typically, that's and also ladies with short hair. I'm not offending anyone, but I mean, typically. So we call someone with just the 2 ears, like, I mean, triangle shapes, we call them cats. So we have to use the words like that, but the only problem is when we use the words like that, we start to feel that it is another object in this world. It is an entity. And that entity has the attributes that we refer to it. For example, the color of the flower, the shape of the flower, the fragrance of the flower. All the attributes are attributed, and then they have been joined together with the term flower. The attributes are joined together with the flower. But what we need to understand is that these attributes are just attributes. These things are individually defined. They're not properties of a flower. But then for school exams, we have to write that these are the properties of a flower if they ask that. But what we need to understand is that these are not properties of a flower. These are not things that belongs to a flower. Because when we talk in language, we have to define something and then attribute all the things that we get from it to that something, to that object that we define, to that entity that we define. So in that sense, we have a flower in this world, but we talk about a flower. We talk about the fragrance of a flower. But what we need to understand is that it's not the fragrance of the flower. Fragrance is something that happens due to causes. You smell something because of causes. It's not the image of the flower. Image is something that happens or you see due to causes. It's not the color of the flower. Color is something that you see due to causes. So all these attributes that you define, maybe it's a person. We say that, oh, that gentleman, he's a very good person. That good lady, she's a very good person. She does lots of merits. Now at this point, even at this point, we have attributed all the attributes, the meritorious person, the good lady, the good gentleman, the good that he had done, we had attributed to that entity. But that entity itself is created in our minds. It's not actually in this world. A good that happened to this world, it is there. Maybe something bad that happened to this world, it is there. That happened due to causes. But did that person, I mean, is that good belong to that person? Because that person itself is an entity that is created inside our minds. It is not there. This flower itself is an entity that is created inside our minds. Does this petal know that it belongs to this flower? Of course, the petal doesn't have consciousness, but I mean, if you think in that lens, if you think in that perspective, if you go to the perspective of this universe, right, does this flower know that it's a part of this bouquet? It doesn't. Does this petal know it's a part of this flower? It doesn't. If you ask the petal, are you a part of a flower? Well, you can't actually ask a petal either. But then you'll have to keep digging then. What can you ask? I mean, this is what the scientists are searching after, right? Who can you ask this question? Who are you part of? Then they go to the atoms and then the protons, neutrons, electrons, and then they go even further than that, and then to the quarks. So they go even further, searching for the smallest things, the smallest particle. Which they can ask this question from. Who are you the part of? So So when we were learning for exams, first we learned at I think grade 8. So we learned that was it Sir John Dalton or Ernest Rutherford who found the atom, who discovered the atom? Any 8th graders? I can't remember exactly, but so I think it's John Dalton, is it? Yes, thank you. So I think it's Sir John Dalton who found the atom. And then I think Sir Ernest Rutherford came up and said that the atom is also divisible. You can find subatomic particles in it. And then he discovered the protons, neutrons. I'm not sure whether he discovered that, but then protons, neutrons, and electrons were discovered. And then it kept on growing and going further. And then up to the quarks. And then even smaller than that. So then scientists keep on doing this. They keep on searching for the smallest particle to ask this question. Do you know that this you are part of this? First they ask the atom, and then they prove to themselves that it was in vain, because atom can also be splitted, so you can't actually ask the atom. So they're still searching for the very smallest particle to attribute this. But somehow they might manage to come across the Dhamma. If they do, then sadhu sadhu, that'll be great. And then they would understand that the phenomenon in this world, the theory of everything is different. The thing that happens in this world is anicca. That is universal. That is natural. That is nature. So, just like that, I ask you the question, when did this flower or when did this thing become a flower? It never becomes a flower. But this structure, we call it a flower. That's why Venerable Vajra Maharaj Thirunaya, as I can recall, if my memory serves me right, sometimes it doesn't. Oh, it is Venerable Sila Maharaj Thirunaya. Either of these two Maharaj Thirunaya had said a very profound stanza. I'll share a part of it with you. She says that Yata Anyatarang Bijang Kete Vuttang Viruhati Patavi Rasancha Agamma Sinehancha Tadubayang Evan Kando Chidatuyo Chacha Ayatanaime Hetum Paticha Sambhutang Hetu Bhangani Ruchati. So she says Yata Anyatarang Bijang. Just like when you throw a seed to Kete Vuttang Viruhati, a good field, a good fertilized, very well made field. When you throw a seed onto that field, what happens? Patavi rasancha agamma. It takes all the things that, the nutrients that are on this earth, and then it grows into a plant. Sinehancha taduvaya. Then she refers, evankando cha datuyo. Just like that, this skanda, the five senses and our perception, all of this, just like that, chacha ayatana ime, all the ayatana, hetum paticha sambhutam, hetu bangani rujjati, causes come together and give rise to a manifestation. And when causes are not there, the manifestation would not be there. So that is why she refers like that. So she gives a beautiful example of a plant growing. It is not that the seed, the plant coming out of the seed, is it? I mean, was that tree that you planted inside that small seed? Today it's a big mango tree. But what did you plant? Something very small as the palm, right? That's all you planted. But today, it's a big tree. It's a massive tree. Was that tree inside that seed? I mean, it was not, right? But then, where did that tree come from? Did it come from inside the seed? That's how it seems like, right? At the first few days, you see the sprout coming out of the seed. is it coming out of the seed? Was it inside the seed to come out? No, it was not. It's just causes coming together and then giving out a manifestation. And then it goes on to grow, to become a very tall, massive tree. But it becomes that little by gathering causes. So that's a tree that grows. But what about this flower? It doesn't grow. So when thinking about this flower, not another graph. Yes, it's another graph. So when thinking about this flower, at t equals 1, the growth was 1. Yes. At t equals 2, the growth was 2. No, sorry, it was 1. It is constant, but we have actually considered about the wrong variable, which is time. So now do we see that time has nothing to play in this? Because it doesn't matter that the time went on. We saw the state as constant. We saw the state as, it's just there. It's, I mean, the flower was there, wasn't it? That's what we saw. But actually, what actually happened was, the causes were same all the time. If you think about a flower, right? It's not a flower, sorry, a fire. If you think about a fire, what is a fire? So you have the burning substance, combustion supporter, which is oxygen, and then the ignition point. So these three things come together to build a fire. Yes? Okay, let's say this is an oxygen molecule. Right? This is the, let's say it's a candle wick. This is an oxygen molecule, this is a candle wick, which is at its ignition point. And then when combined with this, it gives us a small fire. Agreed? Okay. This is another oxygen molecule. If this does not come here, what happens to the fire? Does it die out? It doesn't happen. It's not that the fire dies out. That's the story that we say. That's what we say. Because we put the things into the time. We put the things into the timeline and then say that the fire was there and then now it had died out. But actually what had happened is that this oxygen molecule didn't come close enough. Or the heat of this reduced. Or someone removed the wick itself. That is what happened. So what actually happened was a fire did not occur. Because the causes were not there for the fire to occur. This is what you call Nirodha. So Guru Hamsa refers to it as just like how a wheel stops turning. So when you think about Nirodha, so Rodha means in Sinhalese it's a tire. So how does a wheel stop turning? When you apply brakes, what happens? Is it that it stops or, I mean, it does not move anymore? Which one is it? For it to move the next part, it doesn't get energy. That's what happens. Just like that, the candle and the fire, the next oxygen molecule does not come close enough. Or this, I mean, let's take the oxygen molecule for this example. This is heated up and you have the wick, but the oxygen molecule does not come close enough. So therefore, the fire does not happen. You can't say it's the next instance. It's just that the fire does not happen. Because when you talk about an instant, then again you put it into the timeline. So that's not going to work. So it's just that the fire is not happening because the causes are not there. So let's say, we say that the candle, if there's a power cut, what happens to the candle? If we light a candle, what happens to it? We need to bring a whole pack of candles, right? Otherwise, the candle will melt down, right? Therefore, we need another candle. Let's say that this candle does not melt. This is an imaginary situation, right? A hypothetical situation where this candle doesn't melt. It's just there. So then, when will the fire be finished? When will the fire be over? When will the fire die out? Now that's the wrong question to ask. Sorry? It does not die out. Because I asked the wrong question. You can't ask when will the fire die out? Dies out. All you can ask is, what makes the fire die out? Or what makes the fire not happen anymore? That is the only question that you can ask. You can't ask when will the fire dies out? Because that is the wrong question, because when does not have anything to do with this. When does not have anything to do with the fire? When does not have anything to do with the cat? When does not have anything to do with the flower or the tree? When is not a question. But all we ask is, all the time, when? When will this happen? When will this happen? When will this asteroid hit the earth? That these are the questions that we ask, right? When? But for all of those questions, the answer would always be a what and how. So we'd been asking the wrong questions in life. We had been always asking, when? When will this happen? When will I get this? When will I get this? Then, of course, I mean, although our parents wouldn't realize, but they would give an answer. But they would answer the question by what? They would tell us a time, for example, let's say we want to go on a vacation, right? And then we ask our parents, Mom, when will we go on this vacation? When will we go on a trip to Thailand? When we ask that, then she says, in her head, she thinks to herself that, okay, so I need to get the salary of this month and then the salary of next month, and I need to save up, and then I need to spend it on this as well. And then she calculates inside her head and then thinks that, okay, we can go at the end of this year. She tells a time, but what did she actually thought of? The causes. She actually thought of the things that needs to align, the things that needs to come together in order for that to come up, in order for that manifestation to come up, which is going to Thailand. That is what she thought. But then at the end, she thought that, of course, as people, we can think of a probability of events happening in this world. And therefore, she thought that, okay, at the end of this year, we will be able to have enough money, which is the cause, to go to the trip to Thailand. But then did she consider about the illnesses that you're about to get? We don't know what will happen the next day. But always when we think about our futures, it's always good, isn't it? When you're planning our future, isn't it always good? We don't mostly consider about the things, the bad things that could happen, right? When you plan our future. Even in our path. We always resolve that, I mean, to attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. But what about the other challenges on the way? What about all the other drawbacks on the way? Of course, there wouldn't be regrets, but what about just like the illness that's going around in the monastery? Did we expect that? No. So we think next week we'll be able to listen to the sermon again. But then we'll have to consider about only if you're alive next week. If the Swaminansa is not here, then there would be another Swaminansa, of course. But individually, if we are not able to make it here, then will we be able to listen to the sermon? Will we be able to listen to the sermon? No. So that's what happens when you think about the future. It's always a great future that is laid out. We don't think about all the things that could go downside. So that's a different point. Here, when you consider about it, the time does not matter anymore. Now, do we start to see that? Time is not something that you could put on this graph. All you can put are the causes. If the causes are there, then the flower's gone. If the causes are there, the flower would always seem as it is, just like this fire. If the causes are there for, let's say, now that there are causes, tomorrow morning there are causes, next year there are causes for the fire, and then you would have this fire going on. What I feel is that could be why the temples, so usually, our temple in our village, it had a lamp called the Dolos Mahepahana. Yes, thank you very much. It lights up throughout the whole year. That could be a suggestion proposed by an Arithunhansi back then. For people to understand about this concept. That time does not matter. Because when you think about a fire, we feel that, it's gonna die out in few minutes or few hours, right? But somehow, some Arithunhansi might have come up with this brilliant idea to put a Dolos Mahepahana, which is a lamp that lights up throughout the whole year. Because people would go and fill oil into that basket. And then the wick would light for a very long time. And then you switch the wicks. So therefore the fire is constant throughout, not constant, but the fire would be there every time you look in there. So that is what you call a Dolos Mahepahana. So Dolos Maha is the 12 months. So it will always be there for the whole 12 months of the year. So that could be something that was proposed by an Arithunhansa back then. And that had come into our temples in villages. For people to understand this concept that time does not matter. When you have the causes, the fire will always be there. When there are causes, you have the effect, which is the fire. So that could be why the Arithunhansa suggested that. And that could also be something that was suggested by Arithunhansa. Who knows? When come to think of it, that just came to my head. The Dolos Mahepahana in the temples. So therefore, always keep in mind that, and take into contemplation that time is not a variable in any of the things that happens in this world. The only thing that we can consider about is the causes that comes together. So when you grow a tree next time, when you plant a tree, don't ask the question, when will this bear fruit? You have to ask the question, how will this bear fruit? And then you'll have to go through your biology notes to find out how will it bear fruit. So that is always the question you should ask. And when some event happens in your life, always think that, okay, these are the causes, or try to see the causes. Try to see that as an effect of causes. Not that something happened in time. Because that is what we have practiced, right? To see something as that happened in time. But actually, it did not happen in time. I mean, even when you go to funerals, what do you ask? The relatives of that person, the close family members of that person who has passed on, we go and ask, what happened? I saw her last week. I saw her yesterday. What happened? So yesterday, seeing her yesterday is not a cause that she would be here today. Seeing him yesterday is not a cause that he would be here today. We asked the wrong question. But we asked the right question at that time. What happened? How? That is the right question to ask. But we also suggest that we saw her yesterday. Which means that we were expecting to see her today as well. But that is not a cause. That is not a variable. The only variable is the causes that would give rise to effects, that would give rise to manifestations in this world. That is the only thing that keeps or gives rise to manifestations, which are causes, not the time. Time does not have to do anything with it. Okay, so I think the time that has been given to us is coming to a close. So, keep this in mind, and also try to focus on the achievements, the very small achievements that you have made throughout the journey towards Nibbana in your life. Always get into your head the merits that you do. Of course, recently you offered the Satapanavasa for the Swaminarayanas, and I think probably in the evening you'll get to see a video of that, and also the pond for the Anagarika Mahatyas and Anagarika Mahatmyas. So rejoice in these merits, because this is your monastery. This is your place. So every time you see something, always think of your enjoyment. Always enjoy that by thinking that sadhu sadhu. Although you might have not supported it directly, but you can rejoice in it nonetheless. Someone had done that. Someone had done great to this world. Someone had done something good to this world. And that is good that happens to this world is always good. Let's say a criminal did that. But still, that is good that happened to this world. Now, we talked earlier that you can't attribute that to the criminal. Just like the flower. It's just something that happened in this world. It's an event that occurred. That occurred due to the causes. You can't attribute that to the criminal. So never ever think that this person is bad. I mean, when you're at home, maybe you watch news. I don't know. So, I can't remember the last time I watched news, which was like 6 years ago before I ordained. Even back then, I don't think I'd watch news. I did sometimes. 6 years ago, I don't know what goes on news these days, but sometimes some people come up to us and say so different things. But when they tell that to us, what we say is that don't think of the bad side of that person. Sometimes people say that although he did this good, he's a bad person. So I mean, answer. Then I mean, if that is good that you're talking about, don't think about the bad side. Because that is another part. That is another event that had occurred. Of course, it's bad. Because, I mean, there aren't good events and bad events. But there are demerits and merits, right? So, of course, it's a bad deed. And, of course, that mind had earned demerits because of that. But what about the good deed? Don't attribute it to a person. See that as an event and rejoice in it. That is what we tell them. So keep that in mind, and also think about all the small achievements that you have done and rejoice in them as well. And also if you can, try to find a role model that you can look up to. Not a big chunk, like the mistake I did, a small chunk. And then if you feel like you have achieved, I mean, you have come up to that level, then you can get on to another chunk. So then when you achieve that, you can be really happy about it. I was like this back then, but today I am like this. I was thinking like this back then, but today I'm like this. You can think of that and then be happy about yourself and be happy about your teachers and be happy about your path and be convicted that you're walking on the right path and there is no other path that is apart from this. And that itself will bring a huge joy to your mind and a pleasantness. You will be very pleased about it. And you will be very thankful to your teachers. Okay, so we'll transfer the merits and bring the sermon to a close. Let us take a moment to transfer the merits you have acquired throughout the day by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, observing the precepts, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. First and foremost, let us remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of the Lord Buddha's teachings, and with immense gratitude, let us transfer these merits to the bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasakas and upasikas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teachings of the Lord Buddha, and have passed it down through the generations of the noble lineage, as in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us to study, understand and comprehend the Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including the chief prelates of all the chapters who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and have committed themselves to the benefit of all sentient beings. Let's not forget that among them are the monks and nuns resident in our local temples and nunneries who have always been by our side through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to our teacher, Guru Swami Nahansa, and all the other monks resident at this monastery, as well as the Anagarikas and Anagarika Mahatmas and Mahatmyas residing at the monastery, attached to the monastery. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the people who take great efforts to disseminate the teachings of the Lord Buddha, be that by sharing these sermons with others or inviting others to join them, may by the power of these merits. If any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains, may by the power of these merits. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the devotees, friends of the monastery, for the sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes everyone from those of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, and to those of you who have provided the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, robes, and medicines, and to those of you who have provided their know-how and extended their well wishes. May by the power of these merits, may they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all our mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, our uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, and to anyone and everyone who has helped us, supported us, assisted us in any way, shape or form. May by the power of these merits, may they be healed of any physical and mental ailments, overcome any obstacles to their spiritual progress. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the devas, brahmas, spirits and demons, primarily the Sakadeva, as well as all the numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Samadhi Sasane. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all our guardian deities who keep watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May by the power of these merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all who have been our friends, families, and acquaintances in this infinitely long journey of samsara. Let's take a moment to transfer these merits to them. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the members of the armed forces as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all who lost their lives in war be their friend or foe. Rejoice in the merits you have acquired throughout the day. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the people who lost their lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, and pandemics, reminding ourselves that among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this infinite long journey of samsara. Let us take a moment to transfer these merits to them. May by the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains. May by the power of these merits, may they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let us all make a resolve that may by the power and blessings of all the merits you have acquired throughout the day, we be able to witness the advent of many hundreds of thousands of arhants on this blessed land, and may by the power and blessings of all the merits you have acquired throughout the day and throughout our whole samsara, may you and I, and everyone who has helped make this program a success, become an Arhat Mahanse or an Arhatmeni Mahanse in this very life and in the era of the Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all. Now the Mahasangha will transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnan midatma dvesha ginnan midatma moha ginnan midatma nibbana parama sukhayan Sukhita taravetnva Nibbana parama sukhayan Sukhita taravetnva Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satnvayo Nibbana parama sukhayan sukhita taravetnva Nibbana parama sukhayan sukhita taravetnva Nibbana parama sukhayan Sukhita taravetnva Raga gini niveva Dvesha gini niveva Moha gini niveva Nivansapa labeva Nivansapa labeva Nivansapa labeva Tunruvange Suvisi Ananta Mahaguna Belin Siru Loka Siru Satyama Nibbana Paramasukhen Sukhita Taravetva Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.